Toes tapping a little bit there. Leviticus is very clear that someone who has been deformed either through congenital deformity or through accident or through human action into a eunuch, that such a person was not able to enter the kingdom of God. Such a person was not able to enter the tabernacle because they were considered to be unclean. However, Isaiah, after the suffering servant's ministry, envisions a day when even the eunuch will be brought into the kingdom of God and incorporated into the family. And in the desert, after the Christ, through the unction of the Spirit of the living God, Philip, one of Christ's apostles, one of Christ's representatives, fulfills this vision of Isaiah as he ministers to a man who on the surface would seem by every way to be barred from the kingdom of God. He's a representative of a pagan queen. He's an African, black. He is emasculated because of his position in serving the queen. So he is physically deformed. In every way, he would seem outside the boundaries of Christ's inclusion. And yet, the Spirit of God says to Philip, go, catch up to this man and minister to him. Philip is out in the desert, on the wilderness road from Gaza to Jerusalem. He sees this man riding by in his snazzy chariot, and he hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he bums a ride with him. And then ask this question. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, why did he ask that question? Could it be that there was a look of confusion upon this Ethiopian's face? Or could it be something that he said, which was not a word, but just a sound? Could it be that Philip understood this man's confusion because he listened to this man's wordless moan? Could it be that Philip read between the lines? This morning, I want to suggest to you that much of what we try to communicate, we do so without words. Much of what people try to say to us, they do so without words. They do it through sighs and moans and groans and They don't ask, do you care about me? They don't say, I'm in need, but rather through non-verbal communication, they indicate the pain in their souls and they want to know, do you care enough to listen and to respond? I'm not suggesting to you that non-verbal communication is the best form of communication. I am suggesting to you it is the most common form of communication. By moans and groans and by whimpers and ughs, people want to know, are you listening to me? And do you care enough to respond? Let me give you an example. Young married couple, Sunday afternoon, the husband's watching the football game, the young wife is reading the paper, and she says, And even though her husband is engaged in the football game, if he is wise, he's hearing that nonverbal communication. And he goes, find something interesting, dear? And she says, yes, there's a shoe sale at the mall. And he goes, And a moment or two later, she goes, In 2 minutes, there have been three important non-verbal communications. The first is, And her husband is supposed to understand that he wants to care enough about what she's thinking to ask, find something interesting? And he says, and she says, oh yeah, a shoe sale. And he goes, Meaning we've spent enough on Christmas presents last month that if we aren't careful, we'll get ourselves in trouble. And then the third, is I'm bored. I don't want to watch this game. I don't want you to watch this game. Let's go do something. And so her husband says, I tell you what, as soon as the game is over, let's go out to eat. Now that will cost him, but not near as much as the shoe sale would have cost him. Listening to each other's moans, sighs, looking at each other's grimaces, hearing the is an important relational skill. Sometimes it might be frivolous, other times it is incredibly vital and important. Missing nonverbal communications can be deadly. Some years ago, I had a friend in my first pastorate, always there, always bright and engaged, someone I loved being around. And then I noticed for several Sundays in a row, he wasn't there. Well, he was a farmer. Sometimes his cows got sick. Sometimes he got engaged in the farm. I understood. But I decided I'd go check on him. And normally our conversations were so fluid, so easy. We laughed a lot. But this time he would hardly speak. I told a funny story and he started to laugh and then covered his mouth as if laughing hurt him. I asked, are you okay? Oh, yeah. And then a few days later, he took his life. Now, anytime someone that you know commits suicide, you think back over a host of experiences and see, I should have seen this. I should have picked up on that. But the fact he hadn't been at worship, the fact he wasn't talking, the fact he wasn't laughing, the fact he wasn't engaged in the normal kind of banter that we did all the time naturally should have signaled to me that his soul was crying out. I didn't read between the lines. His best friends didn't read between the lines. His spouse didn't read between the lines. We didn't hear his non-verbal cries for help. One of the things that we as Christians accept responsibility for doing is listening to the cries of the world. One of our responsibilities is to be attuned to people's nonverbal pleas for help. Notice me. Hear my hurt. And care enough to respond. The Ethiopian eunuch noticed that Philip could hear the confusion in his voice. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip cared enough to ask to inquire and to have compassion and to minister to this man and to show him the very ways of life. So much so that this Ethiopian could respond, "Is there any barrier to my coming to the body of Christ?" Other people would have said, "Sure, your color, you're serving a pagan queen, you're emasculated, you are deformed in every way, you're outside of the bonds of Christ." Philip said, "No, the grace of Christ includes you even in your confusion. Come." And he baptizes this man into the body of Christ. Part of our role as Christians is to hear the confusion of the world, the crying of the world. And maybe it's the person in the cubicle next to you, and maybe it's the student in the desk across the aisle, or maybe it's someone you pass along the way in the grocery store. But all around us, there are people without words, speaking of the pain of their souls. Do we have the compassion enough to listen? They interviewed the mayor of the town where the school shooting was this week. And it turns out he was a school teacher. And they said, "How do you respond to something like this?" And his words were, "With a broken heart. Because my mission as a teacher is to try to sense the outliers. Try to sense those who are not connected. And to somehow bring them in." And the young man who committed these slayings, we didn't hear his cry for help. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to commit ourselves to listening. Listening to the moans and the ums and the groans and the whimpers and the sighs of our world. People wanting to know, even if they won't say, "I need help, do you care enough to hear my cry for help?" One of the reasons we do not pay attention to those cries, one of the reasons we do not exercise the energy to read between the lines, is because often it requires sustained compassion. Not just an individual act, but sustained compassion. Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I without someone to guide me?" Part of listening, part of being attuned to others' cry for help, is being willing to be not just a learner, but a teacher. Part of our role as Christians is not just to be a disciple, but a discipler. It does require some energy to learn, but requires even more to teach, to pattern for others the way of life and love and goodness and faith. We talk about the high cost of discipleship. But equally expensive is the high cost of discipling, of being willing to muster sustained compassion to minister to those whose souls cry out in need. You might say, "Well, my faith is not that strong. My belief is not so pure as I can teach others." The Bible doesn't offer us a way out. In fact, The scriptures say to us that the very Spirit of God listens to our nonverbal communication and intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words when we don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26, the very Spirit of God intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words, communicating to our Heavenly Father the needs of our being when we don't know how to express them. The Spirit of God hears our hears our moans, our whimpers, our groans, as we try to be a discipler as well as a disciple for the kingdom of God. Part of our role is to listen and to understand that the Spirit of God is listening even to us and communicating our needs to our Heavenly Father. Many of you know, 2004, there was a horrendous tsunami that snuffed out the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in the Indian Ocean. But I came across a story that indicates the power of reading between the lines. There was a family decided they'd have a big birthday bash for a group of children, and they spared no expense. They actually hired elephants and had them down on the beach as a part of the birthday celebration. But the elephants were attuned to the moaning of the earth. They didn't need a weather report. They sensed in the marrow of their being that something was wrong, and they became agitated and broke their bonds and ran for higher ground. And the children naturally chased the elephants. And the parents naturally chased the children. And everyone was saved. Listening to the groans of an Ethiopian eunuch, Philip brought to him the knowledge and the pathway of life. Listening to the moans and the groans of those around you might enable you to disciple them in the pathway of life. And it may just set your own life on the positive path you need to take. May we pray together. Lord, teach us to hear, to listen attentively to the subtle cries of your creatures. And in so doing, to commit ourselves to be disciplers as well as disciples by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God challenges you this morning to respond, to claim this Christ, to be a disciple and a discipler, to come splice your life into this family and grow together in faith, we offer you a chance to respond as we stand to sing.